Good afternoon. Oh, yes, can't hear myself. Good. Yay! Nice. My name is Dayo, D-A-Y-O, in case you don't know my name. And I have got two lovely kids, David and Lois, 7 and 4. And I have a lovely wife sitting over there for the last 9 years. This morning I was like, really? 9 years ago? Goodness me. That's a long time. That's a lifetime, you know, to get married. So we've been married for 9 years, and God has been good to us. Also, I teach, so I'm a science teacher as well in a local school. I've been doing that for the last 6 years, and God has been good to me in that regards as well. So today, Duncan has asked me to preach, and I had to look for a shirt that looks like a check shirt because I used to wear... I used to wear t-shirts and all that. Anytime Duncan preaches, he's always come with a shirt. I'm like, okay. I was thinking of getting a check shirt. I said, okay, this is the, as close as it can get. So just bear with me, okay? So, you know, and that's really. So today we'll look at the Song of Mary, which is in Luke's Gospel. So I'll just say a word of prayer again, if that's okay. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to just come before you. Lord, I just pray that you'll make this a wonderful time, oh God, for your people. That as they listen to my words, I just pray it will not just be mere words, oh God, but it will be full of your grace, that my speech will be with grace, oh God, seasoned with salt, and that you'll bless the speaker and you'll bless the hearers, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text is from Luke chapter 1, from 46 to 56. But I'm just going to pick it from verse 39, just to kind of give us a context of what happened before Mary sang the song and what happened afterwards. So I'll start from verse 39. In those days, it's on the board, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now and all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his hand. He has scattered the proud in the thought of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from their throne and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Last week, Duncan began this series on a Christmas series, which hopefully will culminate next Sunday. And last week, he spoke about the story of the birth of Jesus and how that involved Mary. And he made some emphasis on biblical narrative, that there's oftentimes when, in the Bible, when we see some words or we see letters in the gospel, that sometimes there's an emphasis on that. And he took us to a journey of what happened before Jesus was born, and how Mary and Joseph, what they went through before Jesus was born. Now, I'm taking the context from what happened before Jesus was born. And Mary went to Elizabeth. So the two sides to what I want to talk about today is actually what triggered the Song of Mary and what lesson can we draw from this song? Now, the title is called the Magnificat. Now, the Magnificat is called a canticle. Okay, canticle is actually a hymn or a chant with a biblical text. Now, I was privileged to, I went to an Anglican school, a Church of England school back in the 90s. That was not in the UK. Now, I was lucky to be in the choir. I used to sing altar. You wouldn't believe that. Now, I remember that when I was in the choir, when Christmas was coming, we used to chant, we used to sing. And I remember very well that one of the songs that I was made to sing was the Magnificat. And I hear my soul to magnify the Lord. And it was interesting then that I didn't realize that a day would come and I would stand before you guys and actually talk about the Magnificat. So it's amazing. It's wonderful for me that, you know, I've actually sang that song, you know, to people several times, and I'm actually standing before you to talk about it. So what triggered Mary's song? What was it that actually made her to erupt in praise to God? Now, actually, what triggered it was Elizabeth, the encouraging Elizabeth. Now, Mary went to Elizabeth because the context was that the angel had spoken to Mary that she was going to conceive and bear a son, and the angel said, with God, all things are possible. Now, Mary must have been confused. And imagine Mary, no one knows actually the exact age of Mary, but we know that she was probably a teenager, so probably in her 13 to 18 or thereabouts. So the angels appeared to Mary and told her that she will have a baby child. She will have a child, and the name will be Jesus. Now, she must be so confused. Now, what is going on? How on earth would this happen? And that was why she asked the angel, said, how shall this be? I know no man. And the angel said, the power of the Holy One will come upon you, and the seed in you shall be called Jesus. Now, she went straight to Elizabeth because the angel said to her that your Elizabeth is with child. Now, she went to Elizabeth to confirm if that was true. Now, when she got to Elizabeth, what happened? You know, Bible says that when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, the baby leaped for joy. There was a connection when Mary got to Elizabeth. There was that connection that this is the mother of the Savior of the world. And there was that connection at that point that Elizabeth began to say some things to Mary. And in verse 45 that we read earlier, it said, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken from the Lord. Now, God's voice is made surer to our weakness when it's echoed by human lips, and our innermost hopes attain substance when they're shared and spoken by another. That from the McLaren commentary. Now, when people speak to our lives, something is always triggered. Now, Mary went to Elizabeth. She knew the exact place to go. She knew that I needed to speak to somebody that could be of help to me at this point in time. Now, my question to you this afternoon is, where do you go when you don't know what to do? Who do you turn to when you don't know what to do? The Bible said that Mary went straight to Elizabeth because she understood that Elizabeth was the perfect person she could speak to, that understood what she was going through. She didn't just go to Elizabeth because Elizabeth was her cousin. She went to Elizabeth because she felt that Elizabeth would understand what she was going through. And when she got there, there was a connection because she knew that this person probably would be able to reason with me, would be able to understand me, will be able to identify, will be able to understand what I'm going through. And exactly that was what Elizabeth did. Now, Christmas could be a lonely time for people. I just went on the internet. I was just trying to find some stats. And it's quite interesting that according to the Campaign to End Loneliness, about 9 million people in the UK are lonely. Now, 4 million are old people. Now, Christmas could be one of those times. I don't know whether you've seen that advert, that 50-pound advert, you know, that's gone viral. You know, about, I think there was one boy that was trying, I can't remember the exact thing, but it was different people in different places, and it was just depicting the loneliness of people at different stages of their lives. Now, Christmas could be lonely times for people. And I don't know if you're in this place or you know somebody who sometimes feels so lonely during Christmas. And I think as a people of God, it's our duty, it's our responsibility to try and reach out to them. And a few weeks ago, Duncan gave us a leaflet about reaching out to people in Fareham. That's a good call. That's a good thing for us to do as a church, as a people, because we are actually reaching out to people that are actually lonely. Because loneliness could be a difficult thing. Someone said, loneliness is the soul feeling isolated from meaningful human connections, feeling misunderstood, out of place. But God's word provides hope and strength. Do you know anyone, or do you feel disconnected from people? Do you think that you haven't got meaningful connections? Do you feel misunderstood? Because sometimes loneliness doesn't mean that you don't have people around you. Sometimes it could mean that people around you, but they don't understand you. Now, Mary was not alone. When the angel spoke to her, again, there were people around her. But there was no point Mary speaking to them because they wouldn't understand. I mean, can you imagine that Mary said to her friend, look, you know, the angel just spoke to me, and the angel just said, I'm just going to have a baby. And, you know, that's it. And how do you think our friends would have accepted that? Okay, brilliant. Bring it on. No. They would have looked at her and said, oh, she's a widow. You know, where does she come from? Because there's no way they can comprehend what the angel has said to her. Because they will never understand it. Now, do you have visions, dreams in your heart? And you're telling people, and they don't make connections with it. It's not because they don't like you. It's just because they don't understand it. Because sometimes we try and share things with people, and we think, oh, no, she doesn't like me. Oh, no, he doesn't like me. No, it's not that they don't like you. It's just that they don't understand what God has placed on the inside of you. And so there was no need for Mary to go about telling people that would not understand what the angel had said to her. She needed to go to somebody that would understand. And that was why she went to Elizabeth. So my charge to you this afternoon is that if there are dreams, there are visions, there are things you really want to do, and you tell people, and they just like shove you aside, or just push you aside, no, 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 that can never work. No, it can work. All you need is an Elizabeth in your life. Somebody that will say to you, oh my goodness, you can make it. You can do that. It's not too late for you. You know, if God can do it for me, God can do it for you. You need an encourager. You need somebody that will not look down on you, but somebody that can actually charge you up. Say, yes, you can do it. Just go for it. You know, and oh, what a wonderful feeling when we have such people in our lives. When we have people that will not bring us down, but that will lift us up. A few years ago, I'm not a fan of some of the talent shows on TV, but there was an 80-year-old lady who went on British Got Talent, you know. And it's amazing. I can imagine somebody may have said to her, no, you're too old for that. No, you're too old for that. And I could hear somebody say, no, go for it. You're still alive. You're not dead. You can still do it. The worst that will happen is that everybody will laugh at you. And so what? You've achieved something. Your video could go viral. You've made something. You know, but she went for it. Have you seen God drains things in your heart today that you look at yourself and you say, No, I can't achieve that. You know, I can't. I remember when I started teaching, and true life story. And I said to myself, I don't want to teach because these guys don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying, black boy teaching white kids, no, that's never going to happen. You know, I was like, no. I said that to myself. You know, I talked myself into not doing it. I said, no, I can't. No, people won't understand what I'm saying. You know, and I hated it because I didn't want people, or I didn't want to repeat myself all the time. Oh, that horrible feeling of asking you to explain yourself time and time and time again. And then you ask yourself, am I speaking English? Or is it Latin I'm talking about? And people kept asking you to repeat yourself. Oh my goodness, don't you get it? It was so hard, you know, 6 years ago. You know, I almost spoke myself away from it. But thank God I've got a good wife. You know, she did encourage me. And then I had people around me who said, no, just go for it. And the rest they say is history. So imagine if I didn't have people around me. Who knows what would have happened today, 6 years, 7 years after. Maybe I wouldn't have taken that opportunity and said, look, whatever happens, I will do it. And I'm saying that to us today, you know, it's not too late to achieve whatever you want to achieve. You know, you might be thinking, oh, no, I cannot preach. No. Everybody has got a gift in them. You know, and sometimes we just need to rise and say, look, God, I don't care if I'm going to fail, but I'm going to give it my best shot. At least I know that I've tried. I know that I gave it the best. You know, I always tell my kids in school that, look, even if you fail, know that you gave it your best. Know that you gave it your all. You know, don't fail because you didn't try. Fail because you tried. That's the dignity that you have. You can hold, you can raise your head high. You can hold, you know, you can stand shoulder to shoulder with people and say, yes, I didn't get those grades, but I did try. I didn't get those grades, but my goodness, I gave it my all. And that is all God is asking from us today. Mary gave his all because she understood what Elizabeth said. And when she got to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth encouraged Mary, and look at what happened from verse 46. And Mary, I love what the Bible says there. It's amazing. Look at verse 46. And Mary said, my soul. I mean, how many times have you ever woken up in the morning or someone just spoke to you and just feel so excited? Is there anyone like that feel that someone just spoke to you, you just feel so happy? You know, or you just watched a program or something, and it just, joy just wells up on the inside of you. You just feel so happy. You feel like taking over the world. Like, yes, bring it on. And that, I guess that was what Mary felt. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She began to erupt in praise. The joyful Mary was as a result of the encouraging Elizabeth. Probably Mary may not have even believed everything the angel said. But because there was an Elizabeth, we now have the joyful Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded, he has looked down upon his handmaid. Oh, I love what he says in verse 49. He said, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. Mary's heart was strengthened by Elizabeth. First, there are three things in the joyful Mary part. There's the expression of what she feels in her heart, which is joy. Secondly, she mentioned what God has done precisely for her as an individual, which meant that God looked down on this person. Do you look down on yourself? Do you think, no, I can't achieve this? No, I'm not, I don't fit, the package to get this. Mary, he said, God looked down on her, a common girl. And she became the mother of the Savior of the world. How amazing is that? She mentioned what God has done for her. And thirdly, she spent most of the time describing the way God is in general. That God has done great things for her and that God's mercy is on them that fear him from generations to generations. The only people whose soul can truly magnify the Lord are people like Elizabeth and Mary. People who acknowledge their lowly estate and are overwhelmed by the merciful and the magnificent God. Those and only those are advanced in mercy, who are in this manner brought to think that the more highly and honorable of God, because they know that God has done great things for them. Elizabeth and Mary are not like people who says that what is the Almighty, that we should serve him. That yes, I'm self-made. I went to the best school in the world. I did great things for myself. So what is God that I should think of it? But not so for Mary, not so for Elizabeth. They recognized that it was God, and it is God who's done great things for them, and that holy is his name. They made themselves of no reputation because they believed what God has done for them, that God has done great things for them, and that is why they can erupt in praise. So, Mary erupted in praise because she believed what God has said about her. She could not help her God, but she could yield up herself in full view of what it would cost her. And we see ourselves, we see our lives in Mary. Now, my question to us this afternoon again is, how often do we burst out in joyful praise to declare the goodness and the greatness of our God? Is there an underlying reason why people sometimes find it difficult to burst out in praise to God? Why do you praise God? Why do you worship him? Is it when things are good? Or do you just thank him or praise him regardless of what is going on? In the book of Habakkuk, it said that although the fig tree may not blossom, say yet I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, why do we praise God? Why do you worship him? Do you worship him because of what he's done for you? Or in spite of what he's done? Oh, I just remember the story of these three amazing Hebrew children. They're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood before the king Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, worship the statue. And I said, oh, king, we're not careful to listen to you. Our God whom we serve is able, and he will deliver us. And even if he does not deliver us, know that we will not bow. They did not bow, and yet they were thrown in the furnace. Because they believed that, look, I'm not serving God. I'm not worshiping God because of what he has done for me. I worship him because of who he is to me. I don't come to church because of what I can get from him. I come because I know who he is to me. He is my Savior, my Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This is who he is to me, and that is why I identify with him. And that's the lifestyle of Mary. And that should be our lifestyle as well. That we just thank God. We thank God on when things are not going well. Let's say you've lost a job. Lord, I thank you because I know that things will work for me. I know things will get better. I know that this is not the best, but I thank you for where I am because I know that things will get better. Oh, I've found myself, you know, on a sick bed. And I'm still thanking God. And people are like, are you crazy? You know, sometimes in the morning, like, you know, it's dark and like everybody's gloomy. I'm like, praise God, I'm alive. There's a reason to be grateful. You know? Something happened, I think, a few years ago. And I think I slept, or I can't remember what exactly happened. I said, look, I thank God that I just slept, you know. It wasn't worse. You know, if something else has happened to me, what would I say? Because there's always something to be grateful for. When we are grateful for the little things, God will do greater things for us. And Mary demonstrated that in the text that we're looking at. She believed God. She erupted in praise that God has done great things for her. And that is why she's rejoicing. Now, in our daily lives, we should always remember that God has done great things for us. In Psalms 103, it said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his goodness. Do you, when you wake up in the morning, do you have time? Do you just sing a psalm? Do you just say, God, I thank you for all you've done for me? Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Do you acknowledge, do you spend time to worship God? Do you say, God, I will worship you regardless of what is going on? Whether the going is good or the going is bad, I will still worship you. And that's the beauty of Mary. Mary was a remarkable woman. For one thing, she understood what it meant to sacrifice for the sake of doing God's will. Because Mary knew that what the angel had said would put her in trouble. Because there are people that would not understand what, like I said earlier, what the angel said to her. So she was willing to accept what God has said at the expense of what people will say. Do we find ourselves at conflict in a place of work, outside, and what God has said to us and what people are saying to us? Sometimes it's very hard these days to even declare yourself as a Christian because it's no longer conventional. But Mary chose to sacrifice for the sake of doing God's will. How often are we misunderstood by people? To be honored of God would mean to be misunderstood by men. Following Jesus would mean being misunderstood by men. People will not understand what you stand for. They think, what in this 21st century? Are you for real? You know, I met someone the other day, I'm like, I'm a Christian. I said, really? I'm like, yeah, really? I'm a Christian, so what? You know, following Jesus will mean sometimes being misunderstood by men. Now, how does this apply to church life? How does this apply to, you know, a corporate entity as a church? Now, if you look at verse 50 and 55, Mary said, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And verse 55, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Now, Mary was understood that God is a generational God. You know, there was something else she said. He said, from now, it's a whole generation will come and blessed. Now, till today, Mary's Magnificat and Mary's life is still a big contention among Christians. You know, if you look at the Catholics, and if you look at the Protestants, and if you look at different denominations, Mary is still a subject of contention. And she said that all generations will come and blessed. Till today, we still talk about Mary. Because she understood that what God has done for her will outlast her. What God has done for her is just beyond her. Now, we have planned, we've been in Fareham for the last 4 months. You know, we've taken that bold step to come to Fareham to plant the church. Now, what we're doing now, generations would think about it and will call us blessed. What we're doing now, some people have spent time praying for this. We just didn't come to Fareham by chance. No. I was not born in Fareham. Sure, of who was born in Fareham? Let's say. No one. Anyone born in Fareham? No. No. But somehow, we found ourselves in Fareham. It didn't happen by chance. God had planned it, that a time will come that a group of people will be so crazy to come and plant a church in Fareham. And some people will want to join them. Now, imagine if this church had not been planted, Coma wouldn't be here today. And it's good to have him anyway. I won't be here today. So everyone seated in this place, and everyone that will come and sit in this place is an answer to prayers. You know, I was just going through some interesting history, and I discovered that Fareham, as we know, is a small Saxon settlement. But in 634 AD, there's a saint called Saint Berenus. It was commissioned by the Pope to bring Christian religion to England. And one of the first places he settled was Fareham. You know, and he planted the Church of St. Peter and Paul. That was several years ago, hundreds of years ago. And look at where we are today. I don't know what prayers they prayed those times. That God, a time will come that some people will come to Fareham and bring the light of the gospel. And when God spoke to Duncan, to come and plant the church, it wasn't that it just happened. God had, before generations, God had been thinking about it. You know, the way God thought about Mary, you know, we didn't know what happened. We didn't know anything about Mary until the angel appeared to her. Mary must have been living a good life, or at least she must have been living a life worthy of emulation. But all of a sudden, God spoke to her. Now, what God spoke to Mary did not happen at that time. It had been prophesied long ago. If you read Isaiah 6, the book of Isaiah, it said a virgin will conceive. You know, it said the scepter will not leave Judah until Shiloh comes. So it had been prophesied years ago that a time will come that a virgin will conceive. And also it has been prophesied years ago that a time will come that the church will be planted in Fareham. And here we are today. So as a church, we must not forget that growth is only a function of God. And nothing can be ascribed to ourselves. We are humbled and honored to be part of this and trust him to have his way. As a church, we must aspire to trust God to bring about the demonstration of his power and the miraculous. In summary, I think there are three things I just want to highlight before we pray. That God wants to glorify his name in our lives, just like he did with Mary. God desires to hear praise, just like Mary erupted in praise. God is a generational God. His mercies are from generations to generations.
He has called us for such a time as this.
Friends, do you have an Elizabeth in your life? Is there somebody that you can go to and a person will not judge you? The person will listen to you. The person will encourage you. The person will not cast you down. The person will not look down on you. The person will not feel jealous or envious of your achievement. The person can be there for you. Do you have such a person in your life? If you don't, do you want to say today that, God, I want an Elizabeth in my life? Somebody that can encourage me. Somebody that can strengthen what God has put on the inside of me. Somebody that can be a catalyst. Speeds of the reaction. You know, a catalyst, something that can trigger something in your life. You know, there's no way I can talk about, you know. Because I teach chemistry a lot, so sorry. You know, God desires to hear praise. How often do you praise? How often do we worship Him? When Elizabeth encouraged Mary, Mary erupted in praise to God. And as a church, where do you see this going as a church? Where do you see yourself? How do you see yourself playing a part in this? You didn't come here by chance. No, it wasn't the leaflet that made you to come. No. It was a leaflet, but it's just time. You know, Bible said God set eternity in the hearts of men. At such a time, somehow, you just saw that leaflet. Somehow, somebody walked past you. Somehow, you were there at that time, and you heard it. And here you are. So nothing happens by chance. Everything happens because God has a plan for it. So I just invite Coleman to lead us in some worship. I just want us to just think about what we've had today, about how Mary was encouraged by Elizabeth. And can we just stand, please? And I'll just lift our hands and just ask the Lord to just, I don't know how this word has actually impacted you. I don't know if I've made any sense to you this afternoon, or this evening rather, but I just want us to just think about what I've said and ask the Lord, do I have Elizabeth in my life? Or make me an Elizabeth, oh God. Make me somebody that people can come to, you know, and they can draw life from me. And if you haven't got an Elizabeth in your life, would you just say to the Lord, can you bring me an Elizabeth? Somebody that can understand me, somebody that will be able to strengthen my hand. And Lord, I just want to erupt in praise to you. I don't care what is happening. I just want to thank you for everything.